A billion years ago, there was nothing but space. Then one of God's wet farts blew all the planets in place. There were no signs of life on Mars or Venus, but planet Earth was blessed with two baby geniuses. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses, tell us something we don't know.
Hello, babies.
Welcome to Baby Geniuses. I'm Emily.
I'm Lisa.
Thanks for listening to our show.
Oh, hello, boy. My babies. Hello, my babies. Hello, my podcast fans.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes. I hope you can't hear the screaming from the daycare next door.
I haven't heard a single scream.
Okay, good. Yeah. I guess like 5 minutes ago, it was just a constant din of just high-pitched children screaming.
I live next to a school, so there's a lot of screaming in my hood as well.
Oh, yeah. Why do kids scream so much?
I don't know, but I definitely did. I screamed so much when I was a kid.
Yeah, I guess it's something that we should be doing as adults, and we aren't, and that's causing us to have ulcers.
I mean, sometimes we scream, but like, yeah. I don't know. I never thought I'd turn into an adult who's just like, oh, could you keep it down? Oh, it's so loud. And now I'm totally that person. I'm like, just.
Yeah. It's like, hello, isn't my hearing supposed to get worse? Shouldn't I be spared from the worst effects of this?
Yeah. I'm so sensitive to sound now. I'm so irritated by extraneous noise.
Yeah. Ugh.
Ugh.
Well, we did an Instagram Live yesterday, which was really fun.
It was
Thanks
fun.
Thanks to everyone who tuned into that.
I'm sorry my audio was really bad, I think. Watching it back, I was like, oh, you like can't hear what I'm saying. Oh, well.
I means, wasn't sure if that was my issue or what, but.
That means we can cover some of the same ground in this episode.
Yeah. I mean, I think we can anyway.
I love only to double dip.
Yeah. But I will say, like, people had asked for updates on my neighbor drama. And I will say putting those plants up as a barrier has helped quite a bit.
Yeah. They're not fucking with your lawn anymore.
They're not fucking with my lawn anymore. They're not like cutting through my yard. They're not like just stomping all over and compacting my soil. They're actually parking in a more respectful manner. And yeah, I know it's.
And all it took was
bizarre.
Like a couple of plants in containers.
Pretty much. I mean, they're very big
containers.
They're like, you know, over 2 feet wide.
Yeah.
Big, you know, whiskey barrel planters. But yeah, it was like, it just sends the message that there's a boundary of some kind.
Yeah.
Imagine if I got an actual fence. And then my caterpillars still have not emerged from their chrysalises as butterflies.
Do you have an expected due date?
I mean, it's like anytime in the next 5 days, I think. And if it doesn't happen today, which I don't think it will because none of them are like going clear yet in Scientology. They haven't reached
Wait
that.
A sec. I didn't know they were that kind of butterfly.
They don't have enough money to spend on the Scientology classes.
It is expensive.
Yeah, like the chrysalises are supposed to turn translucent and then like you're supposed to see the wings and then like I think the next day is when they come out. Or it's like first you can see the wings and it's still a little opaque, but you can see them inside. But then the next day they come out when it's like totally clear. None of that has started happening yet. And so I feel confident I'm going to miss it because starting like tomorrow through the weekend, we're recording this on a Wednesday, I'm going to be working like 12 hours a day.
Have you thought of like setting up a little camera so that you could just watch, you could just tune in and watch like
I probably should
the webcam?
Maybe I'll set up Alan's camera out there.
It wouldn't be too hard, I don't
think.
It's
not color though. That's the thing.
Yeah.
But maybe I will.
Just so you can like while you're having downtime like on set or whatever, you can just check in on your butterflies.
And then I can just tell Peter to go out there. I'm just going to leave the enclosure open in case they emerge and need to leave. you know?
That's nice. I don't want them
trapped in there.
Yeah.
And I still think that affords a measure of protection. I don't think, like, anyone's going to try and, like, go in there like any animals. But yeah. Anyway, that's
exciting.
The update.
That's it's really exciting.
They're getting close. I hope I don't miss it, but I probably will.
It's all happening so fast.
Yeah. And also slower than I want. I wanted them to be out by now. If they want to hang out in there for a little bit longer, that would also be cool.
Yeah.
You know, I think some of them maybe will come out early next week. Anyway, how are you doing, Lisa? Happy belated birthday.
Thank you. I tried to use my birthday present last night. My sister-in-law got me a whole bunch of crap to do my own Gel-X manicure extensions at home.
Oh,
and
man.
I spent like over an hour working on it last night and I removed one nail because I currently have extensions from a salon. And so it took so long to just get one nail off. And I was
it
was kind of stressful. So I'm like, I think there's going to be a learning curve, which sucks because I want it to be easy and fun right away.
Yes.
I don't want there to be any mistakes. I don't want to have any trouble getting the tip to stay on there.
Yeah, it should all be very easy and perfect right away.
And I should
as
be
with all things.
As with all things. And I should be amazing at nail art right away. And like, but mm-hmm. It was really stressful using the drill like on myself.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I don't think I would enjoy that. I have like I get really, my shoulders just like go up to my ears. Like I just, as soon as I hear scraping sounds.
Yeah. And I don't like feeling like the heat of the drill through my nail.
Ooh. Yeah. But that's still a very good gift.
It was I was overwhelmed at first, but I think it's a very good, like, immersive hobby give me at this time.
Give it time.
She's good at getting me to do fun things and take a break from working.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
Did you have a good birthday otherwise?
Yeah, I went roller skating, and then this weekend I'm going up to Idlewild for a few days.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Oh, that'll be really nice.
Yeah, I hope so.
It's going to be so hot in LA, it'll be great for you to get out.
I know, it's supposed to be like 103 degrees in the city.
I don't like that.
And today it's all like, it feels like Michigan outside, it's all like humid and there was crazy thunder all morning.
Yeah, there was thunder and lightning. What the heck?
Big thunder.
People have been like, is Alan okay? And it's like, he does not give a fuck about thunder or fireworks or anything.
Oh, wow.
He doesn't care at all. He only is afraid of me leaving the house. That's mm-hmm. his only fear. And he doesn't like the groomer.
Yeah. you have to take him today, don't you?
Yes, I do have to take him to the groomer today. I was supposed to have a mobile grooming appointment yesterday and... she was like 2 hours late, and then I was worried that my annoyedness at that was going to make her be mean to Alan, and so I canceled the appointment. That she would be able to like read my mood and like not be able to like help being mean to the dog, and I just can't. I can't. I'm fine with people being mean to me if I'm have an attitude, but
yeah.
I don't want them to take it out on my pet.
Yeah, don't be rough with the dog. I mean, hopefully she wouldn't.
Hopefully she wouldn't. And who doesn't love Alan? You know,
yeah.
It would be hard. But I didn't trust it. I was just like, I've been sitting by the door for an hour and a half. I got to get back to work.
That's
I don't know how much longer this is going to be.
Unacceptable. Yeah. I get so upset when people are late or flaky. Like, and it's just, it's hard to be a punctual person sometimes.
A punctual person in a flaky world, for sure.
That's right. I mean, I kind of, it's like, okay.
I'm not like super punctual, but I don't just truly not show up to things that I'm obligated to be at.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I'm almost always 5 minutes early to everything. And I've tried really hard not to be. And I can't help
it. I don't think that's a habit you should shake.
Yeah, I don't know. I just like, I want to be prepared and stuff. It's like it's kind of type A, I guess. And like,
it's also it's an anxiety response.
Absolutely. It is.
Yeah. And when other people aren't like that, it's like them rubbing their lack of anxiety in our faces.
Yeah. And I'm jealous. I think it would be nice to be able to just like flake and not give it a second thought, like some people seem to. But I also, I'm just like, how do you live with yourself?
It's like you have so many other options. I get that it's like probably an executive function issue.
I'm sure some people who are flaky are like, no, it feels bad. I feel ashamed and I feel like I don't have my shit together and stuff. And meanwhile, like I get to feel superior because I'm always on time and I'm productive or whatever. But it's just, it's not fun to be the like anal retentive one.
Yeah, I think both positions are bad.
Yeah, we need a balance. But
both people showing up is great.
The rare occasion when I like almost forget that a meeting has been scheduled and I show up like 3 to 5 minutes late, I feel so fun. Like breezing in and being like, oops, sorry, guys.
Why does that make me feel more accomplished as a person? Like when I show up to a meeting that I forgot about, but I'm still able to make it, it makes me feel like a high-powered executive who's just like
totally
multitasking. And it's like, no, this is me not functioning well.
I know. It makes you feel important, maybe. You're just like, oh, I made it, but I just
had to take those extra few minutes. It's not even that it makes me feel important. It just makes me feel busier.
Yeah.
And like, it kind of the way I used to feel when I lived in New York, where it would be like, well, I'm out of the house for the day. I'm not coming home until the nighttime. So it's like, on my way from here to there, I'm going to get a falafel. And on my way from there to this place, I'm going to see if anyone's around. It's like, there was never any, like, I think because I'm home so much now, I feel so sedentary. And so like, fitting a bunch of things in, even if it is like it's a falafel and it's like a coffee and it's like not even anything like important, just makes me feel like I'm in The Devil Wears Prada.
Absolutely. You're moving and shaking. You're getting it done. This reminds me of these sketches that this comedian Sierra Jane O'Sullivan posts on Instagram. Have you seen these where she plays both the like millennial employee and her older boss and she switches back and forth and it's like, she's almost unrecognizable. She does both so well. And then the millennial's just like, okay, so I called this meeting together. And then the boss is always like in her car, like shoving some weird food in her face and talking about how she like has to take her hamster to karate class. It's so funny. They really get me.
Oh my goodness.
Follow her on Instagram, Sierra Genio. She's great.
Is that an endorse horse?
I think it is, yeah.
Oh my gosh, play the song.
Baby geniuses endorse, letting nature take its course. Endorphins pump from the source when they hop up on that horse. Two babies, one endorse horse. Endorse horse. Endorsing services and items, no remorse. Two babies, one endorse horse. Endorse horse. Riding off into the sunset, now here's something we endorse.
Oh, do I have another endorse horse right now? Do I endorse anything?
God, I don't know if I do.
Oh, geez. Oh my goodness.
Oh, geez.
I definitely do, and I don't know what it is. Probably, oh no.
It's okay.
There's so much to you can also enjoying.
You can also endorse something later in the episode, and we can cue up that theme song again. Just putting that out there.
The listeners are just like, I wonder what the reaction is to that from the listeners.
Delight. I think delight. Delight? Yeah.
I hope delight. Flatbush Misdemeanors is back on Showtime.
I still haven't seen that show.
Yeah, season 2 just started. It's great. It's still great. And season 1 is great if you want to catch up on it. I think I've endorse horsed this already, but I love That For You on Showtime, which is Vanessa Bayer's new show on Showtime. That's like about QVC. Is so good. I also really like that. Vanessa is so funny. Those are some endorse horses. How about that?
I love that.
How about that?
While we're talking about shows, can I just mention real quick that Tuca and Birdie season 2 is now streaming on HBO Max?
Oh my God, I still haven't seen it. That's so exciting for me.
I mean, now when this episode drops, it will be streaming and you can, so you can binge watch it. And then season three is going to start airing July 10th, that Sunday.
Oh my gosh.
And it'll be, each episode will be dropping the next day on HBO Max. So that's really exciting.
Very exciting.
People can see the show.
Yay. Oh, that's great.
Yay. Oh, we got a semi-new listener profile.
Ooh, let's do it.
Yes. Each episode, we've been profiling a new listener who has written in to say that they are new, which is amusing. This person says, my name is Alex. I'm non-binary. I'm a writer and I live in LA. I'm also an only sort of new listener because I started listening regularly like 2 months ago. But I wanted to write in with some tidbits. They say, my partner is Manx, which from the Isle of Man. And they do that thing you mentioned from the Luck Signs and Symbols episode where they won't say the word rat because it's bad luck. So instead of, but they don't say long tail either, though. They just spell it out R-A-T.
Wow.
I was very surprised but endeared to hear them do it the first time. I love that.
I love that, too. I also 100% forget what that was about.
Yeah, apparently it was in our list. Apparently, like, saying the word rat there is bad luck, but I don't remember why.
Oh, fascinating.
I mean, maybe it's because it's like an island and rats were like really disruptive to
and maybe because of the plague.
Yeah.
Probably something to do with the plague. It all goes back to the plague.
We're just guessing here, but it's probably plague related.
Well, thank you for listening. Welcome to our world. Welcome to our world of toys. That's the F.A.O. Schwartz song. Did you ever go to F.A.O. Schwartz as a kid?
No, not as a kid.
Only as an adult?
Yes.
It's hard to describe anything that seemed as fun as going to F.E.O. Schwartz as a kid.
Yeah.
F.E.O. Schwartz, I don't know how universal this place is, but at least the one in San Francisco was like a four-story toy store that was so magical.
Yes.
Like, all of the toys were set up. There was like a giant talking tree. There were like train sets that went around the whole thing. I'm probably remembering it more, you know, remembering it better than it was.
No,
but
it was incredible.
Yeah, it was fucking awesome.
Your memory is correct.
Okay, cool.
I was always drawn to the like really large stuffed animals. Like they'd have like a giraffe that was almost life size, like a baby giraffe. And I wanted something like that, but my parents would say no. Because it was like $10,000.
It was like my parents' nightmare to take me to that store because everything was so expensive. And like the chances of you walking out of there without your kid like crying and begging you for something.
Yeah. F.A.O. Schwartz was like Erewhon.
it's the Erewhon of kids.
It was compared to like Toys R Us, which was like closer to a Vons, I'd say.
Should we do some kind of segment?
Yeah, we've got some of those.
Oh, I'm very much not at the top of my game right now.
I'm firmly in the middle of my game.
I've been having to get up. I'm like slowly moving to like a very early schedule this week because I have these like early days coming up. And I had to get up early to get my hair cut yesterday. And so I've been sleeping in the office because I don't want to, like, force Peter onto my weird schedule. Which
that's nice of you.
Yeah. Which means, but my whole schedule's thrown off. But also, Alan has been sleeping in the bed with me. So he's just, like, in fucking heaven right now.
Yeah.
And he has figured out that, like, when I sleep in the office, the way I do it is like I go in and get comfortable and I leave him outside and I like close the door. And then once Peter takes him out to like use the bathroom for the last time, then he'll let him into the office and then he gets to sleep in there. And he's like, he's figured out that that's the order of operations. And so as soon as I come in, he starts like, okay, how do I get in there? How do I get in there? And so he started like asking Peter to go out way earlier than he's supposed to. And then like he'll go outside, not pee, and then come back in and expect to be let into the office.
That's so
really funny.
Funny
how dogs are like kind of smart, but also still very stupid.
Yes, that's like how Annie's figured out that she gets fed after she goes out to pee. So she'll go out and pretend to pee. And then because she wants to get her food faster. So she's like, I don't want to take the time to go to the bathroom. I'm just going to go pretend that I'm doing the thing and then get my food faster. And it's like, no, you need to pee.
Never related to Annie Moore.
Right.
Like when I was a kid, I used to just like go in and like I never wanted to brush my teeth. And I'm never. Stand there for the length of time, wet my toothbrush.
Yes.
And put it back.
I lied about brushing my teeth so much. And I remember when it actually worked and I had convinced my parents because I'd wet the toothbrush. And I was like, oh, my God, I did it. And then cut to me like years later with rotten teeth.
Yeah. Paying for it dearly, physically and financially.
Yeah. Oops.
All right.
Your kids are lying to you. Just know that this is true. All of you who are parents, your children are lying.
I think they probably know because kids' lies are somewhat obvious, but
until they get good at it.
Yeah.
They've been practicing.
That's true. Okay. It's time for Chunch Chat, our regular segment where we talk about any news in the world of Martha Stewart's pony, Ben Chunch.
Chunch. When the clock strikes noon, we could have a picnic lunch, fine wine, full moon, and we're chatting about chunch. Chunch.
So first of all, today I realized again, as I've realized in the past, that Martha's Vineyard is not literally Martha's Vineyard. It's not Martha Stewart's Vineyard.
Oh my God. I need to be reminded of that every day.
I know. I'm always like, oh, it's so generous of her to like open up this island to people. No, it's not hers.
Which Martha is it? Is it Martha Washington?
I think it was like the daughter of like a colonizer. I don't know. I started to read the Wikipedia page and then I got bored. I was like, okay, got it. It's not Martha Stewart. Just triple checking. But also, this isn't Chunch related, but she was riding one of her Frisians through her property and she was like Instagram storying it. And she captioned it, a ride through the infancy of my maze to be.
That sentence took me a little while.
Yeah, no,
she's saying that she's making a hedge maze.
Yes, basically.
Oh my gosh.
And I transcribed what she said as she was riding. She said, my trusted steed and I are in the maze. Row after row of different kinds of trees and shrubs. In a couple years, this will be a 3.3-acre maze, which is really a kind of puzzle. A puzzle of greenery and shrubbery. which is just insane. And then she names a couple different types of trees and shrubs that will be in there. And then she says, come back in 5 years. Which I am taking as a personal invitation.
Yeah. It makes me so mad that we don't get to just go to her property.
I know. I want to go so bad. I want to
walk around her hedge maze.
Yes, and I want to pet the donkeys and just like get some quality time with Chunch.
Yeah.
What do we have to do?
Have you ever gone through like an actual hedge maze?
I think I did when I was a child and we were in England.
Okay.
I lived there for 7 months while my parents were on sabbatical. Yeah, they were working at a cancer research place. And so we spent a lot of time in England and there were definitely some hedge mazes there.
And you walked through them? Did you find them difficult?
I don't think I remember being in one and it wasn't difficult or scary. It was like, okay. I think it was maybe short enough that you could kind of orient yourself.
Like you could see where you were going. And
I think so. It's a very vague memory.
Hedge mazes are one of those things where I'm like, I'm not even sure if I've ever been in one or if I've just seen them in so much media that it feels like a real memory.
Yeah, that's how I feel too. I don't like the idea of physically being in a maze that, you know, I'm like, what if I get tired? And I'm like, where's the, is there an emergency
where
exit?
Where is the bathroom?
Right?
There is no bathroom in a hedge maze.
It's all bathroom, as far as I'm concerned. Another reason to not go in there.
It just makes the maze higher stakes for the next person who goes through it.
Yeah.
You have to just use the dead ends as a bathroom. I think that should be the rule.
Yeah. I mean, you hit that dead end and you get so scared, you have to go to the bathroom immediately.
I just mean, like, you shouldn't go to the bathroom in a place where someone has to walk through it to get to the end of the hedge maze.
Sure. I mean, I guess it's polite not to, but I can't control my bowels in a hedge maze. The second I get in there, I immediately got to go.
Oh, man. I would like to have a hedge maze. Do you have one thing that I think is interesting about Martha Stewart is it's like she's just always going to have more and more projects.
Yeah.
She's basically just made a career out of being retired.
Yeah.
And I think that that's really cool. And I really sort of wish that I could be at that point.
She works so hard, though. I mean, she's always like launching new products and collabs and stuff.
Yeah.
She does work. But she likes to work.
She does like to work. Ugh. She's doing NFTs, right? Ugh.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, she definitely launched one a while ago, and then I, like, refused to talk about it.
Sorry to bring it up.
No, it's fine.
Sore subject. I feel like there was something else. Did you see that they like hired a Snoop Dogg impersonator to go to that NFT convention?
No.
And there's like an NFT convention going on in New York, and they hired a Snoop Dogg impersonator, but they like also hired a bunch of security for him so that walking around, they weren't like outright saying it was Snoop Dogg, but they were like letting people draw their own conclusions about it.
Ew.
But his name tag said Doopsnog.
Oh my God. Did Snoop Dogg endorse this? Like,
I don't know.
Was he?
I really don't know.
Is he into NFTs?
Story.
It kind of seems like he would be.
Probably. Snoop Dogg is like the most easily bought like celebrity in hip hop. I've said this before. We talked about this last episode, I think, because of Rick Caruso.
Yeah.
He endorsed Rick Caruso. But yeah, like, yeah. From everything that I've heard, like, it's so easy to get Snoop Dogg to just do a verse on your song. He just has, like, a flat fee that you pay, and he'll do it.
He'll do it.
It really doesn't matter who you are.
I'm so upset. I still like Snoop Dogg, regardless. but you're right. I'm so glad that Caruso is not doing that well, despite the millions and millions of dollars he's spent on ads.
The last time we released an episode was before the results of the LA election, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is fucking great news.
I'm so
excited about the results of the primary election in Los Angeles. It's just great news that I want to share that I like talking about.
Yeah.
It's the two city council candidates that I think you and I both volunteered for both did so well in the election. And they're both running to unseat super slimy candidates. And one of them won outright because there were no other candidates. It was just the two of them.
Yeah.
So the primary was the election. And she won in CD1, Eunices Hernandez. She's really cool. And in... Are you in CD13?
No, I'm right next to it in CD4. So I'm in I'm in Nithya's district. But Ugo is doing really
in
well.
My district, he's like... He received more votes than the incumbent received in any election he's ever run in.
It's incredible. It's nice because it's like, okay, this is like a group of council members who can work together. They can collaborate on stuff. Like, Ugo can continue like the homeless outreach work that Nithya's been doing. Like, you know, it's so good. It's really needed.
It's so good. It makes me feel so hopeful and like, there are things we can do to make a difference. I strongly recommend getting involved in local elections. It doesn't always go this well, but I feel really happy about it.
Yeah.
and I mentioned this on the live, too, that the only real neighborhood drama that's been happening lately is that my neighbor two doors down has a sign for the incumbent on his lawn. And it feels like now there's like a weird subtext to all of our interactions.
Oh, no.
But I'm excited for the incumbent to lose.
Yeah, some change would be good.
Yeah. Okay, does that conclude Chunch Chat?
Yeah.
That concludes Chunch Chat. We will be right back with One on Fun.
Emily.
Yes.
Who is your first crush?
Oh my gosh, you know what I realized recently? My first, like, do you want, you mean real crush or celebrity crush?
Let's do both.
Okay, I realized my first celebrity crush was Dante Bosco from the movie Hook.
Wait, which one's Dante Bosco?
He played Rufio.
Oh my god. Oh, such a good choice. Such a good choice. He's so hot.
He has a new movie out that, like, he and his brothers wrote and all star in. And I haven't watched it yet, but I was like, the name Dante Bosco, why do I know that? And it's like, oh, because I memorized that name as a child because I was obsessed with him.
Yeah.
Like, I thought Dante Bosco was so special, and I didn't really recognize it as a crush until, like, now.
He's still hot.
He's still very hot. And he's not that, and he's from the Bay Area, and he's not that much older. Like, that was, I should stop talking about it like I don't have a real chance with him.
Watch your back, Peter. That was like, that was such great casting.
Yeah.
He is so good in that movie. Like,
I haven't watched it. I should rewatch it.
You know, Hook is like my favorite movie, right?
Yes, I did know that.
There's not a, there's not a movie that I love more. It's so it's so good. I was like obsessed with it as a kid. When I saw it in the theaters, I liked it so much I begged my parents to take me back, so we went back and saw it the next day.
Oh my gosh. And my first real crush, I think, was my neighbor Dean.
Dean.
Yeah. I think his name was Dean. Yeah.
Where is he now?
I have got no fucking idea.
You're not googling googling Dean once in a while?
I don't remember his last name. I don't think I could possibly Google him. And I think it would be weird to ask my parents now. I did have a panic recently that, like, because LinkedIn shows you who's looked at your profile, I got panicked recently that, like, I have been, like, really cavalierly looking at people on LinkedIn that I used to have crushes on in high school.
Oh, God, yeah. And they track it?
Yeah, but I'm not logged into LinkedIn, so I don't think they can see, but I am terrified that that's going to come up because that is like one of those idle Googling things. It's like, I'm not trying to actually find these people. I'm not actually thinking about, it's just idle curiosity. And for some reason, a lot of the guys that I used to have crushes on are not on Instagram.
Yeah, same, same. And I find it really frustrating. Like, I love to Google old crushes and exes just to see, just to check in.
Just to see what's going on.
I'm just curious. And I find it, like, offensive how hard some of them are to find online and how few pictures there are. So I cannot tell if they're still hot. I'm sorry. I think it's really rude of them.
I agree. I think it's really rude. And I think LinkedIn is pretty fucked up.
It's fucked up. I hate LinkedIn. That. Ugh. LinkedIn, like, yeah. when something directs to LinkedIn, it's, like, as bad as if it directs to Pinterest. It's just like, oh, God.
Oh, this is just absolutely unusable to
this
me.
This is a trash website. I hate it.
Thanks for the not information, you piece of shit.
You piece of fucking shit.
Okay, Lisa, wait. I have to ask you a question. Is there, like, a social networking site that doesn't exist that you think should, like, to connect people for like purposes, like LinkedIn is for work and Instagram is ostensibly for pictures, like, is there one that you think should exist that doesn't?
I mean, I'm always like, I always wish that there was more of like a Flickr kind of thing that would come back. Like, I really miss Flickr. I thought that was so fun.
Yeah.
And it's sort of like what Instagram felt like in its golden era. And then it just curdled. Like, it was almost that. But then it wasn't quite that, because for a while you could only post one picture at a time. And then they had, like, you could post a bunch. But then it's so bad now. And now they're pushing their reels. I hate it. Like, I want there to be a social media site that's, like, humane. It's not made to make you, like, addicted to it. And it's built so that you can create micro communities, so it's not like everything you post is broadcast to everyone in the whole world the way Twitter is, so you get like a million people responding to you that don't understand your deal at all.
Oh my God. I had such an annoying experience like that the other day where, like, you know, I don't even go on Twitter that much anymore. I like took it off my phone. And so sometimes things will trend and I won't totally know why. And maybe it's on me for participating in that without knowing like the true context. Like, I know that like people were sharing really bad Airbnb stories. I think because someone had thought that they had found surveillance cameras in an Airbnb that they were staying at. But
yeah,
it just reminded me of the time that I stayed in that Airbnb that had all of the religious artwork in it.
Yeah.
That was like, and I was just like, you know, I don't think I ever really posted about it too much at the time, but I think it would be a funny excuse to like post about that. And I was like, since people are sharing terrible Airbnb stories, here's one. Like, and I went and found the listing and I like looked at the pictures to just really make sure that it was deceptive. And it really was. There are like 100 pictures of the listing. And in two of them, there are like very subtle crosses in them that don't seem like really imposing. But then when you went into the Airbnb, it was like there is not a place your eyes could land on the walls that was not covered in deeply
creepy.
Yeah, like what's the word I'm looking for? Like visceral and dramatic religious art, like Christian art, like Jesus stepping on the head of a snake. Like one of the bedrooms had a life-size wooden crucifix in it with nails.
Jesus Christ.
And like all of the art had plaques like explaining it. And like it was really fucking intense. And
yeah,
like
that's creepy.
Look, I am lucky that I grew up without any kind of religious trauma. Mm-hmm. Like I'm sure there are people for whom that kind of a home is a sanctuary. But there's also people for whom that would be really traumatizing to walk into and see.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in neither category. I walked in and I was like, this is the most over the top thing I've ever seen in my life. And so I posted about that. I posted some pictures that I still had and like told some stories about it. And like, at first, it was really fun because people were like, oh, my God, this is wild. Or like, oh, my God, I stayed in that house, too. And I did hallucinogenic drugs. Adam stayed there one time.
I was going to say that sounds like the place Adam stayed. And it was really fucking creepy.
It was the place
and the
that
guy
Adam stayed.
Who like owned the place was creepy. And like Adam's, you know, was staying there with his like co-producers who were Jewish and they were like really uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not cool. It's like false advertising. It's not okay.
It's absolutely false advertising and it's not okay. And but so I posted about it and it was fun at first because, you know, it like got some traction and like people were interested and like it was, you know, when you've been through something weird like that, it's nice to have other people validate how weird of an experience it is.
Yeah,
you
it's
know?
Fun.
And but then it got to the point where people were like, so your problem is that you didn't like the decor?
Oh, come on.
And it's like, oh, so you think that this is just as, like saying like, oh, so that's terrible to you? Like, this isn't nearly as bad as what other people have gone through. And it's like, none of that was the subtext of what I was saying at all. Like, at no point did I imply that this is the worst thing that's ever happened to anyone. And the issue isn't just that I didn't like the decor. And then there are people who are even like, even though literally the first tweet in the thread was me saying that there were maybe two pictures of crosses in the 100 photos of of the house, that it was literally drenched in like iconography.
Yeah.
People were like, you should have seen that on the listing.
And it's like, no, that's the whole point.
That's the whole point. The whole point is it was not in the listing. And like, it was one of those times where I was like, there is a threshold of virality and it's very low.
Yes.
Of when something you say goes viral, the responses become unmanageably dismissive and irritating.
Like they have low reading comprehension and media savvy, and they want to feel superior to you in any way they can.
In any way they possibly can. And they're also mad at you that someone else retweeted you.
Yes.
Which is not something you're in control of.
And they're
of.
Like, who do you think you are? And you're like, I don't know. I was on my own account. Like, who are you?
Yeah. Who are you? Like, take it up with the person who retweeted me into your feed. Don't follow them anymore. You don't follow me. You don't have to respond.
Just like, ignore it and move on. What's your deal?
It's so annoying. And oh my God. I mean, it just reminds me of that time that I got that weird rug from Amazon that was like a doormat. I ordered a doormat and then they sent me like a foam mat with a picture of the doormat that I ordered printed on it.
And people blamed you for it though.
People blame me for it. And then also people accused me of faking it to go viral. And it's like, I didn't know I was going to go viral about this.
Truth is stranger than fiction, people.
Oh, man. People are really, really mad at the wrong things.
Can I?
Including me.
Can I talk about a similar thing I had happen on Twitter recently, very briefly?
No, you can't.
We got to move on.
No, of course you can't.
Yeah. I rejoined Twitter just temporarily to promote my show while it's coming out. And I saw this tweet that had gone really viral from the Jim Rose Circus. And it was about a horse lying in a field. And it was like, meet Sugar. She doesn't like to be ridden. If Sugar is approached with a saddle, she lies down and pretends to be asleep. Sugar refuses to open her eyes until the riders leave. And a lot of people were sending this to me and they're like, look at this funny horse. And then like it got a lot of virality. People were like, this is an anti-work icon, this horse who lies down instead of letting herself be saddled. And I was like, huh, this seems like bullshit. I don't think Jim Rose Circus like knows a horse, much less has a horse. So I just did like a reverse image search and found it was like a stock photo from like years ago.
Oh my gosh, I love this.
Yeah,
I
it's
love
so fun.
This story.
It's
this
fun.
Is so funny.
I just know
people are so full of shit.
They're so full of shit. And like, of course, and then also in a corner of the picture, you can see another horse also lying down. So I'm like, what about that horse? This is clearly just a horse napping in a field. And this is viral because a lot of people don't know that horses do fully lie down to sleep a lot of the time. They don't always sleep standing up. So I'm just like, with my knowledge of horses, I do like to debunk horse stuff. It's fun.
Yeah.
So I retweeted it with the stock photo and said, this tweet reeks of bullshit. I'm a sugar truther. Sugar is a stock photo. And that went large. And then I got like 10 different people tweeting at me like, you must be a lot of fun at parties. Like, people were so fucking mad at me for ruining like that this horse was real. Like, a lot of people were like, can't you just let us have this?
Like, and it's let you have what? It's misinformation that's like giving people the idea that like riding is really bad for horses too. I think that there's something that's slightly.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know anything about horses, but there's something about that idea that could be, I think, maybe slightly dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, I find that annoying. A lot of people who don't know anything about horses are like, it's cruel to ride them. And I don't agree with that at all, obviously.
Obviously, yeah.
But also just based on my horse's body language, she seems okay. But yeah, it was. And also, like, a lot of people thought that I was fully serious, too. And they were like, well, you should learn to take a joke. This original tweet was supposed to be funny. And I'm like, you don't know anything about me. You have, like.
And you also clearly don't know anything about comedy because it's not a joke. It's actually only funny if that's a real horse with a real reaction.
Yeah.
That's, like, not. Oh, my
that's
God.
The thing too.
That
There's
makes
like,
me so furious. It's like, it's truly not a good joke.
It's not a good joke. There's plenty of real animals doing real funny shit. Like, horses do funny shit all the time.
Yeah.
It's not funny to me if it's fake. So anyways.
It's not funny if it's fake. And oh my God, there's this one Twitter account that makes me so furious. And it's called Faith Rub Paul. And I've talked about them on the podcast before, probably, maybe. I don't know. I've definitely talked loudly. It was like one of those things where it's like, I'm sure I talked about it on the podcast because for the week afterward, I was yelling about it to everyone who I could possibly talk to, where it was like, they are an account that I think everyone should block because all they do is post fake screenshots of fake tweets from celebrities, and it's always like fake Betty White tweets being like her saying like, I think Donald Trump is a moron, you know, like shit that is not funny unless it's Betty White saying it.
Yeah.
And she didn't actually say it, and then everyone retweets it because they think it's an actual fucking Betty White screenshot.
Oh, that's dumb.
And it's not. It's you're putting words in the mouths of elderly people who don't understand the internet enough to correct the record. And then you're claiming that everyone likes your jokes when they actually don't. There's a context that you added that is false and misleading that makes something funnier than it actually is if it's just a joke you wrote. And they put like in tiny letters that it's a parody. And it's so, it pisses me off so much because they're like, it's a joke. And it's like, no, it's not a joke. You know that that wouldn't get retweeted unless people thought that fucking Jen Psaki actually said it. And yeah. She didn't. So.
And it's different from like Clickhole, which has the whole, you know, people do still sometimes confuse Clickhole for real stuff. But Clickhole at least has the like context of being a humor website like The Onion yes. or something, you know, where it's like.
And it's funny because it's making fun of something specific.
Yeah.
Like. And that's not why people are sharing these. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, it makes me so mad as a comedian.
Yeah, I think, yeah, as like a person who likes comedy and writes comedy, it's annoying.
It's really fucking annoying.
People.
Anyway, that concludes One on Fun.
We're a couple of snobs and we love it.
Yes. We will be right back with Wiki of the Week.
Hey there, I'm Ellen Weatherford.
And I'm Christian Weatherford.
And we've got big feelings about animals that we just gotta share.
On Just the Zoo of Us, your new favorite animal review podcast, we're here to critically evaluate how each animal excels and how it doesn't, rating them out of 10 on their effectiveness, ingenuity, and aesthetics.
Guest experts give you their takes informed by actual, real-life experiences studying and working with very cool animals like sharks, cheetahs, and sea turtles.
It's a field trip to the zoo for your ears.
So if you or your kids have ever wondered if a pigeon can count, why sloths move so slow, or how a spider sees the world, find out with us every Wednesday on Just the Zoo of Us in its natural habitat on MaximumFun.org.
Listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
Hal Laplin here with breaking news on a revolutionary form of entertainment, professional wrestling. For more, we go to our correspondent, Danielle Radford.
Professional wrestling is the craze that's sweeping the nation, featuring fisticuffs and colorful costumes.
But who can help us make sense of this world of body slams? Lindsay Kelk has the answer.
Sources tell us of an amazing podcast called Tights and Fights, filled with discussions of the absurdity of professional wrestling, plus all the sincerity and hilarity that you could shake a stick at.
Listen to the Tights and Fights podcast every week.
Find it on Maximum Fun or wherever you get your podcasts.
And your old-timey radio.
Welcome to Wiki of the Week. This week's Wikipedia page was sent to us by Abigail Cohen. Thank you, Abigail Cohen. It is the Wikipedia page for banana peel.
We thought we needed a refresher on what a banana peel is.
Abigail said, I was curious about the origins of slipping on a banana peel, but I learned several other facts as well. And you know what? So did I.
What is a banana peel? It's also called a banana skin in British English, and it's the outer covering of the banana fruit. Banana peels are used as food for animals, an ingredient in cooking, in water purification, for manufacturing of several biochemical products, as well as for jokes and comical situations.
Jokes and comical situations. There are several methods to remove a peel from a banana.
True.
Use. Bananas are a popular fruit consumed worldwide with a yearly production of over 165 million tons in 2011. Once the peel is removed, the fruit can be eaten raw or cooked, and the peel is generally discarded. Because of this removal of the banana peel, a significant amount of organic waste is generated.
Banana peels are sometimes used as feedstock for cattle, goats, pigs, monkeys, poultry, rabbits, fish, zebras, and several other species, typically on small farms in regions where bananas are grown. There are some concerns over the impact of tannins contained in the peels on animals that consume them. Junie does not like bananas. I've tried to feed her them. She doesn't like them.
Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. I wonder why.
Yeah.
Maybe the texture. The nutritional value of banana peel depends on the stage of maturity and the cultivar. For example, plantain peels contain less fiber than dessert banana peels, and lignin content increases with ripening from 7 to 15% dry matter.
Mm-hmm.
I know what all of that meant.
I don't know what that means.
On average, banana peels contain 6 to 9% dry matter of protein and 20 to 30% of fiber. Green plantain peels contain 40% starch that is transformed into sugars after ripening. Green banana peels contain much less starch, about 15% when green, than plantain peels, while ripe banana peels contain up to 30% free sugars. Okay, none of that was important. I'm very sorry.
Culinary use. Cooking with banana peel is commonplace in Southeast Asian, Indian, and Venezuelan cuisine, where the peel of bananas and plantains is used in recipes. In April 2019, a vegan pulled pork recipe using banana peel by food blogger Melissa Copeland, aka the Stingy Vegan, went viral. During 2020, the Great British Bake Off winner Nadia Hussein revealed she uses banana peels as an alternative to pulled pork when making burgers in an effort to reduce food waste. Later that year, TV chef Nigella Lawson used banana skin as an ingredient for a curry on her BBC show.
Fascinating. I'm really curious to try this. I wonder if it tastes good at all.
I know. Banana peels, they taste kind of like a little bad to me, like a little bitter. But maybe that goes away when you cook them. I don't know.
I've never eaten them, so I actually don't know. In comical context.
Here we go.
Here we go. Rubbing my hands together. Banana peel is also part of the classic physical comedy slapstick visual gag, the slipping on a banana peel. The gag was already seen as classic in 1920s America. It can be traced to the late 19th century when banana peel waste was considered a public hazard in a number of American towns. Although banana peel slipping jokes date to at least 1854, they became much more popular beginning in the late 1860s, when the large-scale importation of bananas made them more readily available.
Unreliable source, question mark?
Unreliable source for this, yeah. Vaudeville comedian Cal Stewart included banana peel jokes in one of the earliest comedy albums, Uncle Josh in a Department Store. In 1903. That's so funny that I've never heard of the comedy album Uncle Josh in a Department Store.
I know. It's a classic. It's really good.
I wonder if I can listen to that. I'm going to look into it.
Yeah.
Before banana peel jokes came into vogue, orange peels and sometimes peach skins or fruit peels, peelings, or skins generally were funny as well as dangerous. Another unreliable source cited here. Slipping on a banana peel was at one point a real concern, with municipal ordinances governing the disposal of the peel.
Love that. The coefficient of friction of banana peel on a linoleum surface was measured at just 0.07, about half that of lubricated metal on metal. Researchers attribute this to the crushing of the natural polysaccharide follicular gel, releasing a homogeneous sole. This unsurprising finding was awarded the 2014 IG Nobel Prize for Physics.
Ignoble.
Oh, it's a prize awarded annually to celebrate unusual or trivial achievements in scientific research. Oh my God, that's amazing.
I think this has come up before in Wiki of the Week when we've misread it as Nobel Prize, when it's actually a satirical.
Ignoble.
Here we are making the same mistake that we're mocking fools for.
Oh, we'll never learn.
Peeling methods. Most people peel a banana by cutting or snapping the stem and divide the peel into sections while pulling them away from the bared fruit. Another way of peeling a banana is done in the opposite direction, from the end with the brownish floral residue, a way usually perceived as upside down. This way is also known as the monkey method, since it is how monkeys are said to peel bananas. Which way do you do it?
I started doing it the monkey method way, and it's better. It's like much easier than doing it from the stem. It's like much less likely to like smush that part of the banana.
Yes, I have been doing it that way too. And what I like about it is it takes out that little, the floral residue, that brown stick at the end of it.
Yeah.
It takes that out. So I advocate the monkey method.
Monkey method. Monkeys know best.
Things.
When the tip of a banana is pinched with two fingers, it will split and the peel comes off in two clean sections. The inner fibers or strings between the fruit and the peel will remain attached to the peel, and the stem of the banana can be used as a handle when eating the banana. This just seems as like a best case scenario. It doesn't always go down this way, but this is what you hope for.
This is what you hope for, yes. Psychoactive effects of banana peels.
Ooh.
Main article, bananadine. Bananadine is a fictional psychoactive substance which is supposedly extracted from banana peels. So there has been a widespread belief that banana peel contains a psychoactive substance and that smoking them may produce a, quote, high or sense of relaxation. This belief, which may be a rumor or urban legend, is often associated with the 1966 song Mellow Yellow by Donovan. A recipe for the extraction of the fictional chemical bananadine is found in the Anarchist Cookbook of 1971. That's really funny. Had you ever heard that?
And did not know that that's what Mellow Yellow was about.
It's not what it's about. I think people, that's just a rumor.
I don't know. It says so on the Wikipedia page for it.
Well, no,
but it's all, it's a rumor. So like, I don't know. Donovan was just like, these rhyme.
Does it say it on the Wikipedia page for Mellow Yellow or just this one? Because this Wikipedia page just says that it's often associated with the song. But that doesn't mean
it says it on the Wikipedia page for the song, but it still calls it a rumor. So that aspect of bananas has since been debunked. So it's probably, I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
Who's to say?
Yeah. According to Donovan's notes accompanying the album Donovan's Greatest Hits, the rumor that one could get high from smoking dried banana skins was started by Country Joe McDonald in 1966, and Donovan heard the rumor 3 weeks before Mellow Yellow was released as a single.
Oh, okay.
Which means probably unlikely that it influenced the writing of it, because that's...
Yeah.
Just a coincidence. But that's really funny.
Yeah.
Well... That concludes Wiki of the Week. It's time now for What Did I Learn?
What did I learn?
Lisa, what did you learn today?
What did I learn? I learned your first crush was Rufio.
Yeah.
Good taste.
Thank you very much. And I learned that the new season of Tuca and Birdie is out now on HBO Max. Or, I mean, the season two is, and then the new season comes out in July.
July 10th, yes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Should we do some sleep talk stories?
Yeah, we've got a couple.
Yeah.
Sleep talkers, they talk in their sleep. When they wake up, they're not really awake. All right, here's one. I got this unintelligible text from my boyfriend when we were having a text conversation about what to do with my old license plate. I was so confused, and afterwards, so was he. So he wrote, yeah, it sounds like maybe just best as a decorative person, so not maybe he friend people are helpful. Hulk with the airplane. And then they texted him back, your message gives me stress. I don't know what it means. And he said, I think I was asleep when I wrote that. It doesn't make sense. I just think it's funny to text back to your partner when they write you some nonsense. Your message gives me stress. Because what I would write is, what the fuck?
That sounds like a Google translation of like what you actually want to say.
Yeah. I'd say, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
Your message gives me stress. It's so polite.
I really like this one. When I was about 10 years old and my brother was about 12, we were sitting across from each other at the breakfast table when he said, last night in my dream, the meaning of life was revealed to me. It was just one sentence. So simple, so clear, but it changed everything. And I just remembered that last night I was able to wake myself up during the dream and write it down. We should finish eating breakfast, I said. Both of us finished our bowls of cereal knowing that if he had really succeeded in capturing the meaning of life, everything was about to change for us. After we were done eating, we went back to the bedroom we shared. There was indeed a sheet of paper on my brother's nightstand, but the handwriting didn't look like his. It was as if something had guided his hand to write the words. On the paper, it said... Intellect is the egg which must be pondered.
And did it change everything for you?
Intellect is the egg which must be pondered. There are eggs that must not be pondered, but intellect is not one of them.
I can't say I disagree. That was really well told.
Yeah,
I enjoyed
really
that.
Well told. Yeah.
Here, my girlfriend and I have been living together for 3 years, and in that time, I learned that if I came home late, after she had already gone to bed, a very rare occurrence, I would have to be very stealthy, because if I woke her up, her gut reaction was that I was an intruder, and that shot of adrenaline would not let her fall asleep again. Well, one night, I came home very late, and I'd almost successfully snuck into bed, but as I was finally laying my head to the pillow, she snapped up, looked at me in the face, and with pure panic, but not fear, said, "Where's what's-his-face?" She immediately cooled down, rolled back over, and said, "Never mind." I assumed it was a sleep talking thing, but she confirmed the next morning that she did remember being awakened when I climbed into bed. I asked her if she remembered what she said, and she eventually revealed that she was looking for me but did not get my name out and instead called me her boyfriend of 6 years, what's his face. We have since been married for 15 years, have 2 kids, and can occasionally call back and have a good laugh every time.
Here's maybe one final one.
Yeah.
My 8th grade class took a trip to Washington, D.C. We stayed in a big tower style hotel and were assigned to hotel rooms. A bunch of the boys, including this guy, Drew, figured out that you could dial between the hotel rooms if you knew the room number you wanted to reach. And I guess they had a crush on my friend because they were calling us off and on for hours. Anyway, when we went to sleep that night, my friend woke up to me saying in my sleep, real sassy, "Go back to your home planet, Drew."
Definitely a good thing to say to a middle school boy.
That is like a genuinely good comeback to anything. Just say, "Go back to your home planet."
Get it? You know, you're an alien.
If you want someone to shut up.
Yeah.
I like it. I think it's good.
I think it's good.
I think that stands the tests of the waking world.
The waking world can be harsh, but that one works.
Yes.
Great.
Well, thank you. You can send us your sleep talking stories to babygeniusespodcast@gmail.com.
You can also send us wiki links and whatever else you want to send us.
It's the best place to send us whatever you want. Do not send us, the worst emails we get are definitely the ones where someone's like, "I've noticed you have a great podcast with a lot of great topics for your listeners, and we're interested in helping your SEO." And it's like very clear that they just found a list of email addresses that have the word podcast in them.
Yeah. I'm like, okay, you're a robot. Bye-bye.
Bye, robot.
Bye-bye, robot. Go back to your home planet.
Like, bye, robot. Yeah, go back to your home planet. thank you so much for listening. Please rate our podcast 5 stars wherever you do that now.
Yeah.
Thanks to our producer Rob Pera.
Yay. Thanks for our music, Nate Heller.
And
goodbye.
Geniuses, we know everything. Baby geniuses. Everything, baby geniuses, we know everything, baby geniuses, we know everything. MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.